We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's Wednesday, March 1st.
Yeah, come on. Power through it, Jeff. It's the Wednesday. Off-season. You can fumble your words.
It's Wednesday, March 1st. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz, a smart new power on the Varsity Podcast Network. Oh, man. I swear, if we, any show I ever did, if we had like a paid thing to do in the, that you could watch us talk behind the scenes, either radio or podcast, we'd make a lot of money. We'd also get fired. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Combine this week, quarterbacks getting cut, the draft's coming up, so much to talk about. And Gabe's favorite player, by the way, is also a comedian now, supposedly. So we'll talk about all of that. NFL never sleeps. So much to get into. Gabe, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you, Jeff. I do miss football. So even though I think hipster football fans want to crap all over the combine, I say bring it on, baby. I'm ready.
Are you not doing XFL? You're not XFLing?
I'm buying the AJ McCarron storyline. I'm not opposed. I like The Rock mixing it up and tweeting about football. I'm kind of into it. I haven't watched much yet.
I've gotten into not March Madness quite yet, but the madness of college basketball this past weekend. I'm now into college basketball. It was a good weekend for buzzer beaters.
Dude, it's like the sport. I actually asked a friend this. He went to Michigan. He loves Michigan. I said, is it that we just weren't paying attention to this sport until now? Or were there like six incredible buzzer beaters this weekend? It seemed like an outrageous weekend in college basketball.
No, it was an outrageous weekend in college basketball. It's okay. It's like they know this is the time.
Now's our chance.
Now's our chance. And things start getting, you know, teams are vying for, you know, for opportunities in the postseason. And they're just desperation. Like they're just trying to find ways to win these games. Their feet are, the legs are underneath them as they head to the, you know, to the home stretch of the season. It was just a good weekend for college basketball. And
this new crop of Lakers, Jeff, we'll get to that. You're a Lakers fan.
Yeah, yep. But now the LeBron's hurt. So now the new crop doesn't even matter anymore.
Nah, hurt doesn't mean anything in the NBA. Ask Charles Barkley about that. We'll get into all of it. Let's talk combine.
Okay.
Because this is every year we forget what the heck it is, and then we remember all of a sudden and we're experts, right? Like we don't know who any of these dudes are past the first 10 names, and then we're an expert in every single one of them and what they look like in their underpants. So, Jeff, I don't have a specific take that I need to throw at you other than to say you morons who poo-poo the combine are missing the point. It's fun. The coverage has gotten better. And every now and then a great player emerges and we learn something, right?
Yes. Look, the combine is first and foremost an opportunity for NFL teams to medical check these players, right? That's why it was created. All the players go to Indianapolis. It's one centralized location for all the NFL teams to do their physical backgrounds and actual physical, you know, checks on the players, medical evaluations. If players need x-rays, MRIs, blood work, EKGs, all those things, it's all done in one place. They can all do it at the same time. That's why it was originally done. It's why it's done in Indianapolis, not done in Los Angeles, or not done in New York. It's kind of in the middle of the country-ish. And that's why it's there, right? There's five or six rooms. Every player goes in those rooms. There's five teams in each room, and they just evaluate you. They poke and prod and check your knees and your wrists and your shoulders and your groin and your feet and your ankles and everything, your stomach, like everything you would expect in a physical on steroids. They have your medical background. They have your folder with all your medical information from in college. They're checking everything out. I remember I had hurt my MCL, so the inside ligament of your knee, my freshman year in college. I didn't sit any time. And it was noted in my, you know, in my medical information, and they kind of twisted my knee and were like, "Oh, your MCL, like, did you hurt it?" I was like, "Yeah, 4 years ago." Like, they feel these things. I had to get an MRI on my back because I had a back surgery in college, and that's what this is for. The workouts, what we see, is a small part of the entire process. And I look at the combine, Gabe, as an opportunity for NFL teams to check boxes for players, right? Okay? So if there's 100 data points, 100 boxes to check before you draft a player, 75 of them are the film. Let's just say 75. Maybe more. Maybe some teams have 85 are the film. And let's say some teams have 60. But I think more of them will look at the film, right? And then you have what happened to the combine, right? You have the medical, right? Let's say that's five boxes to check, right? Then you have the on-field workouts. Then you have, that's two boxes to check. Then you have the interviews. That's another box to check. It's just box checking, right? And let me explain what that means for me and what I think it means for NFL teams. So let's say that, Gabe, let's say that you're in a prospect, and on film, when they watch you play at USC, your new favorite college, you look fast on film and you look quick on film. And then you get to the combine and you run fast and you run quick. Check the box that shows on film. Let's check that box for Gabe. Or let's say you're Jeff Schwartz. You are slow on film and you run slow at the combine. Check that box. Jeff Schwartz is slow on film, slow at the combine. Check that box. What the combine is about for the physical part of it is what happens when Gabe, who runs fast on the field, on game film, plays fast on the game film, but runs a slow 40 time and has a slow 3 cone. Scouts can't check that box now. Hmm. You got to go back and look. Why does Gabe play faster on the field than he does when he's testing? Or vice versa, right? Like, why does Jeff Schwartz look slow on the field but run really fast at the combine? Hmm. And that is where a lot of the why, to me, the on-field things matter. It's box checking. Okay, Jeff Schwartz, you know, and this show, I was talking today about, I'll use Noah Sewell, a linebacker from Oregon. I was talking with a buddy today about Noah Sewell, linebacker from Oregon. Five-star kid, didn't play that great this year, was kind of up and down. For me, like when you watch him play, it's like I question his lateral movement skills at times as a linebacker. I think he can run in a straight line pretty well, but can he move laterally pretty well? So that's a question of mine I have about one specific player. So I want to see how he tests in those drills at the combine. If he tests really well, then I have to go back and figure out, okay, why did that not show on film? If he tests poorly in those drills at the combine, then I'm like, okay, that's there. How do I coach him out of that? Or how do I draft him if I want him and put him in a scheme or have him in my defense where I feel that he'll be most successful, or just don't draft him because I don't think he fits what I want to do on defense? So that's the important part of the physical part of the combine. It's just to double check the film. And of course, there are going to be guys that stand out. There's going to be guys that work out warriors and things like that, that wow the coaches, and they're going to have to go back and look at the film. And there are obviously certain benchmarks that you can hit as a player that more often than not at your position have led to success over the long run. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to pull it up right here. It's kind of important here. Let's see. Because for like offensive linemen, if you run a 40 time, I'm going to pull this up right here. Okay. This is a small sample size, but it's worth kind of. Since 2010, 28 offensive linemen have recorded a 4.47 short shuttle or better the combine. 24 of the 28 were drafted. Those 24 players started 84 of their NFL games. So like there are certain, and this happens with all positions, but there's certain drills where if you do hit a benchmark of like, okay, that has meant in the past that player has the physical gifts, the unique gifts to play that position really well for a long period of time. And part of that is if you're that quick and athletic and agile, you're able to avoid injuries a little bit better because your body moves a certain way and guys hit you, you're able to kind of, so that's kind of the whole physical process, in my opinion, of why the combine is important.
Okay. That's a hell of an explanation. And even though I've talked to you for two or three combines now, I don't think I heard each part of that. Let me pull a few things out of that. Is it possible? So you're saying basically it confirms hunches. You know, we have a lot of tape of the kid from Oregon. We kind of know what we think he does well and doesn't. Then he does some tests and we go, yeah, okay. He's about what we thought. That's reassuring. Now we know the third round grade we gave him is about right. We're not going to reach for him. If he's there, we'll take him. Okay.
Yes.
Great. What about the guys who come from smaller schools where the tape was maybe not as evident and certain positions where you can get lost in a system. There aren't as many opportunities to see what a guy can do. This is where you're smarter than me, but I'm thinking about defensive backs, guys who like maybe they only have two or three plays they can make a game, but they make all of them. If they show up at the combine and do a few things right, do we then go back and look at more tape?
Well, yes. And this is kind of like back to the box check and stuff, right? Like if they run really well, then you have to go back and look about, okay, well, why didn't they make more plays on film? Is it because of the system they were in? Were they at the lower level? Like for some corners, because you mentioned corners, like some corners, they don't just, you know, Sauce Gardner at Cincinnati last year, no one threw him the ball. No one threw the ball to his side of the field. You know, there's a player in Oregon, Christian Gonzalez, who I think started a little bit slower, but he's going to run like a 4.3. His sister is an Olympic sprinter. She was featured on Hard Knocks, by the way, because she's married to the Lions backup quarterback, and they featured him watching her at the Olympics in Tokyo a couple years ago. I think their parents are sprinters too. Like he's going to run really, really well. He probably runs faster than he plays at times. So you have to go back and figure out kind of like maybe why that is. And that's, you know, for small school guys, to your point, like if you haven't seen, you know, small school guys, I think are a little bit different because the film is not going to be the same, right? Because you're not playing the same competition. I've always felt for smaller school guys, Gabe, when you watch their film, they have to dominate. Like there's a player out of North Dakota State, Cody, I believe his last name is Munch. He's off at the tackle. He's redhead, long hair.
Yeah. He was a big old meme.
Yeah. Missing a tooth. Like he manhandles defensive linemen. Like you have to be excellent. Like you have to be dominant if you're going to be a lower level kid who's going to be drafted. Even if you're drafted in the sixth round, you have to dominate your competition. And then you have to go to the combine and just meet those physical benchmarks. You know, if you're a cornerback at a smaller school, you got to run that 4.45. Boom, check mark. So that's, again, the film is the most important thing. But then you also, and this is why they're never absolutes, right? Orlando Brown, I guess I'll give you a guy to follow on social media. His name is Kent Lee Platt. It's at MathBomb on social media. He puts together a relative athletic score, RAS, R-A-S. He puts together it's his proprietary numbers based off of everyone's combine workout. He gives them a score. It's fantastic to follow because these scores typically align with like the best players in the NFL have these high athletic scores. What a shock, right? But he lists them all. He has a database. It's really fun to look at. It's like a legit, like if you look at, just go check it out. It's fun during combine season. But there are guys with like low RAS scores, like Orlando Brown had a terrible combine. Good NFL player. My brother had a terrible combine. Good NFL player. It's not a be-all end-all, right? But again, those are the outliers. Like being a good athlete, testing well, jumps are part of this as well. Jumping measures explosiveness, guys. So if you jump high, vertical, you jump far, broad jump, that measures your hips. It measures how you explode off the ball. Those are important kind of ways to measure explosiveness. But if you go follow these scores, you can see like a lot of the guys that typically test well end up being good NFL players.
Okay, so then let's talk about the other topic that always comes up then. Not just the guys who are going to confirm some hunches or maybe be outliers who we go, wait a sec, we got to go back and watch more tape and maybe improve their stock. There's always now a tradition of big name guys from big name schools who've been told for a year or two already they're definite first rounders. Don't want to compete at the combine.
Yeah.
It's not because they're afraid of getting injured, right? It's because all they can do potentially is hurt their stock.
Absolutely.
But isn't that a bit like pleading the fifth? Like the common person goes, well, then what are you hiding? Yeah. Aren't you guilty of something?
I mean, that certainly is a way you can look at it. Jalen Carter, for example, is not participating in the combine, the Georgia defensive tackle. Bryce Young's not throwing at the combine. Jalen Carter can. The only thing he can do in the combine is hurt himself, Gabe. Like, that's the only thing he can do. He'll go. He'll do all the interviews. He'll talk to the media. He'll do his medical checks and whatnot, but he won't run in the combine. Most guys have better pro days than combines because the combine, you know, you're up at 5 in the morning. You're going to bed at 10, 11 at night. I mean, you're busy all day. And the point of that is they want you to work out by the end of the time you're there in a more of a, you know, stressful environment on your body, right? You haven't slept as well. You know, maybe they used to weigh you in the day before you worked out and now they weigh you in the day you work out. So if you're trying to cut weight like I was or gain a bunch of weight to weigh in, now are you going to do that the day you work out? So like it adds stressors to the environment to work out in. They want you to work out in the stressful environment. More mental stress, obviously, than physical stress, but a little bit of physical stress. At the pro day, you don't have any of that, right? You're in your own bed. You're at your own campus. It's when you want to do it, the time you want to do it at. And so guys opt for that route because, again, Jalen Carter can do it. He can get away with it. Gabe, Jalen Carter never has to work out. He will be the number one defensive tackle taken. Doesn't have to do anything. Bryce Young probably doesn't have to throw at all to be the number one quarterback taken in this draft. Now, his height and weight will be super important because we've seen, you know, again, he'll be the smallest quarterback drafted in the first round in forever. But, you know, he doesn't have to throw to be the first quarterback taken. Some guys have that luxury.
Yeah, fair enough. I want to go over some suggestions for maybe new things to evaluate at the combine. Hank and I drew up a few ideas.
Okay,
like you to take these seriously because we certainly did.
Okay.
All right. What about making the players wear pads when they run the 40?
That'd be more realistic. I'd be down for that. But then I don't think they would want to train in the pads for 8 weeks though.
I know, but what, you know, put on pads. What does it matter how well you run without pads?
I'm with you.
Plenty of guys, wide receivers especially, who just like can't move the way that we need them to with pads.
Agreed.
All right, good. So that's one for one. Good suggestion by Gabe and Hank. Number two, one regular person does every drill before the players just so that we can see how much better they are at stuff.
This is probably your best one you're going to have.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
What if I told you that was Hank's suggestion? Would you still feel that way?
People have suggested it before. I'm sure he cribbed it from someone else.
Ah, okay. So Roger Sherman came up with this idea.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
It's been floating around the internet for years now. I'm sure he went to ChatGPT and asked him what to do here.
All right. ChatGPT Hank came up with that one. Yeah. All right, next one. Speed round of game management situations to see how well players know what to do in any given complicated NFL situation. So should the running back slide at the one or score a touchdown
waste of time.
Why? Wouldn't Cowboys want to have a few more guys who knew the rules?
That's not important until you play a game. You can teach that in the game.
I think I'd much rather have Dan Orlovsky in the sixth round than some guy who doesn't know the rules.
That's not important to know at the combine.
I disagree, but fine. I didn't play in the NFL. You did, and you're smarter than me. Okay, there should be a, quote, talent portion, like in beauty pageants, where prospects can do whatever they want to highlight skills to scouts. And this could be anything, because maybe it makes for the better Hard Knocks episodes or better marketing capability. Like, maybe you're good at dancing after touchdowns. I don't know.
Are you airing this part of the show? Are you airing this part?
I think we would.
I'd be in for that talent show for sure.
All right, great. We're doing better now, Hank. Every tight end who used to play basketball has entered into a one-on-one basketball tournament. Announcers are only allowed to mention that someone played basketball in future broadcasts if they win that one-on-one tournament, proving they are, in fact, good at it.
Oh, my God.
So, you know.
That's incredible. Can I tell you, I was down in Dallas for Big Boys Club. Season 3 is on.
You're going to like the next one, then.
It's on the way. And after the kids are done training, they play this basketball game, the three-point shooting contest. The facility has a full-size basketball court because the Mavericks G League team trains there as well. And I told them I would beat them in this three-point shooting contest game. And they told me, blah, 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 you're not going to win. And I beat them. And it was a big ego boost for me to beat these 21-year-olds in a three-point shooting contest when I haven't shot three-pointers in many, many moons.
Well, you know, I play pickup ball in your old high school, and I've been looking around.
Wait, you play at Pally?
Yeah, I've been looking around for the banners, the retired numbers for Jeff Schwartz in the basketball court. I haven't seen them.
When I was playing high school basketball, we played Westchester, and Westchester was number one in the country, and we weren't winning anything. So,
okay.
You play pickup at Pally, huh?
Well, let's not put that out there because it's kind of like a nice little secret we've got going.
I'm gonna have to do that when I come back to town with you.
You're in the run. I got a hookup for you. Okay. Next one. Every O lineman has to grill a burger on his own smoker and then talk through his process the way all you big fat guys like to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Let's put more on TV, not less. Show me everything. Long reality show.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. We're really on a roll now.
Yeah.
Tackling drill. You have to run full speed at a tackling dummy, but only hit it where it lights up green at the last second. But that's how the NFL works now. Everything's a penalty unless you nail it.
Yeah, but that doesn't really help anything.
Okay, so far, by the way, the ones that you have quickly poo-pooed have been mine. Next one. Temptation drill. All right, you're told to go wait in a waiting room. Remember the scene in Men in Black where Will Smith okay. Think about that here. You sit in this room and you're being told, oh, the GM of some team wants to come meet with you. And sitting in the room is an Xbox and the playbook for the team that's thinking about meeting you next. And they watch to see which you pick up and interact with for the 10 minutes.
I love this. Love
Isn't that
it.
A good one?
I love it. I love it so much. Totally like
if,
in.
If
yes.
The quarterback reaches for that Xbox, get him the F out of here.
Yeah. Kyler Murray would reach for the Xbox.
He would have been a fifth rounder.
He would totally out. Oh, I love that one. Who's that was definitely yours.
Was indeed mine, yes. And then Hank put one more in here us to get fired.
Why
Hank,
is
no.
he obsessed? Okay, why? Okay, my wife, I had to go today. I'm going to explain what happened. I had to go today.
Be very carefully, please.
I will. I had to go today I had to go pick up something from Publix and bring it to my wife's office for work. And in doing so, when I got to her office, I left her a note and I drew something on a piece of paper to leave for her at work. I took a video of it and sent it to you guys. I thought it was pretty funny. Like, ha ha ha, look what I drew my wife on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. You guys can guess what it is. Hank is obsessed by the image I drew and how he thinks I drew it incorrectly and has not stopped talking about this for the last 5 hours. I don't know why, Gabe. I thought I was the most immature one in this group. Hank cannot get over the image and how I drew it. I thought I drew a standard, quick object. I had 3 seconds to draw this before someone walked in her office. I didn't think much of it. My wife laughed at it. She liked the joke. Did you look at the object and think I drew it incorrectly?
I think there's a few comedic ways to draw this particular object. I think you checked the box to go back to your term. I don't know why Hank wanted to get anatomical or why he thought, you know, putting this in a rundown for you to just continue publicly talking about was a good idea. What I am concerned about for you, Jeff, is this particular drawing that you gave to your wife. I thought you meant you left it in your home office. You left this in her actual office?
Yeah.
She's like a real professional.
Yeah, yeah. In her office, yeah.
Okay. Well, but, I hope you didn't get her canceled.
No, but I left it. You saw what I did. It was like folded, like shut.
Oh, yeah.
It had nothing on the front of it. Like it was folded like by her, by her desk. Like no one saw it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we can't afford to put Meredith on the Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you payroll, so let's please not get her fired. All right?
No, why would she be fired for that?
I don't know, man. These days, you can't draw stuff like that, Jeff. Can't do it.
What I draw? You don't know what I drew.
All right, forget it. Okay. I don't really know how to talk about this topic because I refuse to engage with most of these stories. I see the headlines and I go, I know this guy sucks. There's more evidence to come. He still sucks. And I never learn enough about how bad a guy Dan Snyder really is and how many of the other owners seem to want him out. That's the overall headline is Dan Snyder, it would be great for the whole league if he was gone. But he's holding on for dear life despite a million accusations and new pending lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. Jeff, is there something you can make us smarter about other than just this guy's the worst?
So the new, not even allegation. I mean, it's in the grand jury testimony, right? Well, gets the grand jurors look into it, I should say. But three minority owners, who are all billionaires, by the way, of the Commanders, have said that Dan Snyder committed bank fraud in securing a $55 million loan without board approval, and the NFL made it go away. And a federal grand jury is now looking into this. I don't know why they just don't get rid of this guy. Like, it does not make sense to me. I know that he keeps claiming that he has like things over the NFL and over the owners. I think he already used his Jerry Jones one with that picture that came out with Jerry Jones in, you know, at the, in Little Rock, right? It was Little Rock where he grew up. Mm-hmm. I think he used that one already. I mean, what can he release that's worse than anything the NFL has already had out about them at any time ever? This, get rid of Daniel Snyder. He won't sell to Jeff Bezos because of what he works for the Washington Post. He owns the Washington Post. They write mean things about him. Like, just of all the things, John Orrand, who covers sports business for the Sports Business Journal, listed like allegations against Daniel Snyder: financial misconduct, bank fraud, misuse of team's funds, abuse of corporate bylaws, self-dealing, disregard of contractual and fiduciary duties, and sexual misconduct. Like, why is he still an owner? Donald Sterling, the Clippers owner, said one thing in private, Gabe, like. And they got him out of there in a week. They're like, goodbye. You're out of here, buddy. Like, see you later. And no one liked him either, right? Like, goodbye, gone. And you can argue that in that instance, like, it was a private conversation that was recorded and leaked. This is out there. Like, all this stuff is out there. Like, they've had to pay fines. There's grand jury investigations. There's I don't know why he's still there. And the thing about it, they're not any good. I can understand if you're like, well, you know, they've won Super Bowls. They're good for the league. Washington Commanders fans, Hank, Matt, they hate the guy. They can't wait for new ownership. Like, you're not even pleasing or like trying to make the fans of the Commanders happy by keeping the owner. I can understand if it was like Lamar Hunt Clark Hunt, the Chiefs owner, not Lamar's dad, Clark Hunt, who, and the Chiefs are winning all the time. You're like, I don't really want to, because this. Washington doesn't win ever. Get him up out of there. I don't care what you have to do. Get Snyder out of owning the Commanders and get him out of your league. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, the crazy thing is he's trying to use his awful history as leverage. You know, like he's basically one of the news stories. There's like five news stories. But one of the news stories is that he wants legal protection or indemnification if he agrees to sell the team. Basically, he's like extorting the league to say, yeah. If we get rid of you, we won't let you get sued, essentially, which I don't even know how, legally, how the hell that's even possible.
Well, but it means that they would cover his cost if he gets sued, essentially.
Right. But But I guess we have to imagine, though, since it seems so obvious that he should be out, that it's not necessarily that he has some file with dirty stuff about every owner and he's threatened to put it out there if they go, you know, gang up on him. Isn't it possible that what the owners don't want is this precedent being set, which is that if we look into his history this much, if we explore his business dealings and his personal life this much, they could be next. And could it be that they don't want that?
Jimmy Haslam, what, defrauded people of like $1 billion? Mm-hmm. He's still the NFL owner? What, since when has that been a thing? They could go into other people's businesses, but again, like, they're just looking at the Commanders. I mean, if you haven't committed a crime as the owner of your team, then what do they have to look into? Right? Like, I don't, no. To me, Gabe, the answer is no. Like, if you haven't committed a crime, then what are you worried about? Now, maybe all these families are criming. Maybe all these teams are criming behind the scenes.
Well, I don't know. I'm not accusing anyone of committing a crime as the owner of the NFL team, but most owners of NFL teams have very complicated histories and business dealings. And most of them, the football team is not their primary income. I mean, I shouldn't say
well,
most,
absolutely,
I don't know,
but again, but look, again, Haslam, of course, still an NFL owner after his Flying J stuff, right? So people have, you know, again, an owner survived kind of his company, his other main business, you know, a scandal with that, right? Mm-hmm. Survived that. But again, the people are looking at specifically his ownership of his NFL team. We're not, to my knowledge, they're not looking at his other companies, right? His other dealings in other companies. Yeah. I don't even know what he owns otherwise, by the way. So
wasn't he the Six Flags owner for the longest and then some media stuff? Well, it doesn't matter. Right? You're right.
Six Flags, the amusement park? I don't even know that.
I'm just talking about my ass. Let's focus on what you're saying.
But if you get rid of him and your premise is like, well, they don't want to do it because they're worried about, you know, them. Well, I hope that no one else is doing crimes like he is. I mean, like this is legit bank fraud. Like, he could go, I mean, he's not going to go to jail. I think we probably know that. I think other people go to jail in his situation. But I just don't want to believe that other owners are committing crimes like he is. And that's the reason why they're not getting him out of there.
Well, how much, because people asked Coach Rivera about this, and obviously Bieniemy was the big offseason hire. So we're thinking about their coaching staff, and, you know, they've just moved on from the quarterback. We're not talking about him. They've got some things that could go right on the field. Does any of this bleed into the team they put on the field this fall? Do you think it matters? Let's just say he's a bad guy, and it'd be better if he was gone. But
I just think it's just a kind of a nonstop just distraction, right? Like, the players getting asked about the owner, the coach being asked about the owner. That's it. I mean, that probably doesn't change much. But also, I guess you could overpay free agents, but how many free agents are looking at wanting to come to the Commanders, right?
I wouldn't think very many.
Probably not many, right? But I think if Jeff Bezos were on the team, a bunch of players would want to come to the Commanders.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other conversation. Let's talk about the draft, because those guys aren't free agents. They want to go wherever someone will take them and pay them a bunch of money. So the Bears are at number one.
Yeah.
And everyone believes they're keeping Justin Fields and trading back. So we get to do this over and over and over again until the end of April. But do you think that's the right move?
Yeah. So here's what I would do if I were the Bears. I think you owe it to yourself to see Justin Fields for one more season. So what you do is you trade back and you'll get picks for this year and next year. Okay. And if you end up after the season and thinking to yourself, well, you know, Justin Fields is not the guy. We give him a chance this year. We've upgraded the offensive line. We've upgraded the weapons. He's just not the guy. Then next year, when you have an extra first round pick, because you've traded this year's first round pick and you have your own first round pick, you use those to go up to one or two and get yourself Caleb Williams or Drake May. If one of those two guys obviously is available in the top two, if, you know, someone who doesn't need a quarterback is drafting in that situation. Because I don't think that Bryce Young is right. good enough to give up on Justin Fields yet. And I think you owe it to yourself to give yourself – Justin Fields, I think, can play. I think he's a good football player. But you give him another year to develop as a passer, get yourself some more weapons around him, and kind of have this team, this like core of a team that's ready to win if Fields isn't ready yet next season with a new quarterback. That's how I would play this. If I were the Bears, it feels like they're going that direction.
Yeah, I think I agree. Who do you think's the hungriest to go get their pick, though? Like, who's willing to pay?
I mean, it's got to be Houston or Indianapolis. I think Jim Irsay is going to tell them to, like, you know, that I think the Colts are going to try to move up quickest.
It stands to reason that it would be the Colts, because the Colts have been relevant franchise, winning franchise for, you know, 5, 8, 10 year stretches twice in our lifetime. Both times when they went and got the quarterback. You know, that's the model they know. They aren't yeah. worth a shit if they're, you know, going to the backup or playing in free agency. They've been great when they had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, and that's it. So it makes sense that they would go after it, that the fans would understand that rationale. The Jets, obviously, a lot of conversation about Aaron Rodgers now that he's emerged from darkness, and Derek Carr is going to, you know, eat up the whole offseason, making us talk about him. Are we positive, since it's so obvious the coach moved on, are we positive the team hasn't moved on from the quarterback and they may not go get a guy who they like and just say, whatever, we're moving on, we made a mistake?
I don't think you can afford to take another shot with a rookie quarterback right now. Like, get yourself a known commodity in Derek Carr and not – you just can't.
But how do you ever get the pick for the Caleb Williams or Derek, you know, May? Like, how do you get to the point where you have your quarterback if you keep bringing in the guy who's going to keep you at 9-8?
But here's the problem, though, Gabe, is this is the hardest part about a lot of this is that if you're Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, you have to win this year. You're fired. Like, you're not looking – Joe Douglas, too, probably. Like, you're not looking at this as, like, how do we get to 2024? You look at this, like, how do we win this year to save my job? That's the hard part about a lot of these discussions with what teams are going to do, because they're scrambling to win now, as Hank just put in our chat, to keep the paychecks coming in, right? Like, that's why. You keep your job. That's kind of where you're at. I can make the case for a couple teams. Like, I can make the case for the Colts even at 4 with a new head coach to say, hey, look, let's draft the best player possible at 4 is not a quarterback, and let's stink one more year and get Caleb Williams or Drake May. Like, that's a viable plan for a first-year head coach. It's not a viable plan for Robert Saleh, who's trying to keep his job.
Yeah. That sucks. Obviously.
Look, when you miss on a quarterback in the draft like they did, it sets you back 5 to 7 years. It just does. Like, because then you're doing this, right? You're scrambling for years and years and years. Because what has to happen is you have to basically either hit a home run with, like, Aaron Rodgers, or you have to get a new coach before you draft someone else. Like, they're not going to let Robert Saleh draft a second quarterback in the top 10. He won't be the coach if that happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, luckily I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a Chargers fan, and the future is bright there. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll move the line. We got a few more questions for you.
Let's do it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie.
visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Jeff, we're back. It's time to move the line. A little over-under game. Here goes. Jordan Poyer says he wants to play in a state that doesn't take, quote, half his money. Guess he doesn't like the fact that New York State, where he plays in Buffalo, has high taxes. So I'm going to take this seriously. What percent of free agents factor taxes into their decisions on where to sign? Over-under, 75%.
This is Poyer's 10th season, I want to say.
He's a veteran.
I think players at his age, it's over 75%. I think players looking at their second contracts or their first big contract, it doesn't play a factor at all. You just take the most money possible. I mean, look, obviously, you know, New York taxes, what, when I was in Jersey, it was 9.7%. Florida's zero. You know, New York, I think, is close to 9.7%. California's 13%. You know, but if you're getting, you know, $10 million more to play in California than anywhere else, you're taking that money, right, Gabe? But when you get older and the money sort of becomes the same, you know, we're getting two equal deals and looking at now you're in year 11 and 10 and 12 and 9 and 13, and you're like, I'm kind of looking for fit and for you know, where my family wants to live and the weather and the money and the taxes. Then you start looking at places like Poyer's talking about, that he also mentioned cold and the taxes. Then you start looking. I think at his age, it's more than 75% of players that are looking at other things besides just the cold hard cash.
Okay, so then why aren't the Miami Dolphins better at building a roster?
There's a hard cap. You can't pay everybody.
I understand, but you can basically tell a guy, hey, look, like, we're going to give you 10% less than that other team, but your take home is the same. Play for us. Live in Miami.
Okay, but see, but players don't look at it like that.
Players agents do?
No, they don't.
Well, here's an interesting question. Now we're way in the weeds. Maybe you don't know. If I'm the agent for a player, I get paid a commission. It's a negotiation between me and the player, right? So there's kind of standards, but a few percentage points on the contract. I'm an agent. I can register my business, presumably, wherever I want. It doesn't matter how my guy gets taxed. I pay my own income tax. So if I'm an agent, don't I just care about the gross amount? Which sort of proves the opposite,
sure,
of what I was saying a minute ago.
But you want to, yeah, I mean, you want to be able to brag that your client got the most money.
Yeah, I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So what do you as the agent, yes, aren't incentivized to care if Jeff is keeping some X percent in Jersey, sure, versus
exactly,
even more somewhere else. You get paid on the overall amount.
Right. Exactly.
Huh.
Yes.
All right. Well, the point is, with veterans, you're saying it is a factor. So we shouldn't just say, like, he's ring chasing. Sometimes he might be, like, long-term retirement planning.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with, okay, him specifically, yes.
All right. Fair enough. Over under 10% chance the quarterback who shall not be named starts a game next season in the NFL.
No. I mean, look, can he start a game as a backup quarterback for someone
who
got
injured? I actually don't care. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
He'll never be a starter. He'll never be a starter again in the NFL.
Okay, great. Somebody was tweeting that The Rock should text him right now. Come play.
Why would he want that? Why would the XFL want that?
Who the hell knows? Over under 10% chance the Browns considered the fact that they were raising the price tag for their division rivals on Lamar and Burrow when they signed Deshaun, and that was what they knew they were doing. They were playing chess while all of us were playing checkers.
Yeah, I'm sure their $54 million cap hit this year is a lot of chess there. Good job, Browns.
Who knows what the cap hit will be for those other teams?
No, because the NFL has basically said, we're just not paying anyone that deal anymore. So congrats, Browns. You played yourselves. Look, Burrow's not getting that deal. Herbert's not getting that deal. Lamar is not getting that contract from the Ravens. They're not giving him $230 million guaranteed.
Had Deshaun come back, played well, and somehow, you know, there was some magic bean for him winning over the fan base and calming down all the detractors. I don't know how he possibly could have done that. But if it had been a success, Do you think that that money still exists for those guys?
No.
You think it's, no it's matter a, what it was about?
It's the one time we've seen NFL history where basically the NFL was like, yeah, we're ignoring this contract and we're not paying you what the next person, what the previous person got. You know, like we're not giving you, 1% more than the last person got. We're just ignoring that contract and going off the previous contract. It's crazy. They're just flat out ignoring it.
All right, fair enough. Let's switch gears quickly. You're an LA fan. Over under 15% chance the Lakers make the play-in without LeBron.
I mean, they're game back right now, right? I think I saw.
Everybody makes the playoffs now in the end.
20 of 30 teams, right? They're game back at the moment. LeBron's out a while, right?
It's always confusing with whether his injuries are serious.
They are half a game back. I think they make the play. The Pelicans are gonna bounce out because of Zion's injury. The Jazz don't want to win, but they're too far out of the lottery now. I'll say that they'll in as the 10 seed, nine
you
or
think
10
they,
seed.
They barely get in. LeBron, who's expected to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Is healthy just in the nick of time.
Yes.
And they get in, and then they are pretty terrifying, as the last couple of weeks showed us, with this slightly revamped roster.
Oh, yeah. Like, are you now, telling me, let's say they win the play-in kind of bracket and end up being the 8th seed.
Yeah.
Tell me, they're Denver would be terrified to play Los Angeles in that first round.
It would be the 7th seed, wouldn't it? Don't you become the 7?
No, you become the 8. You become the 7 and 8 seed get determined by the play-in games.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. So you're saying if they get in as the 10, they can become the 8 and then play.
Correct.
Yeah, Denver. I don't think anyone. I don't know if the 1 seed would even be favored in that situation.
Right, they would have to be, I think. But the Nuggets just haven't.
Game 1, maybe. I don't know.
The Nuggets just haven't performed in the postseason.
No, I'm not going to stop. Hank's putting in the chat, dude, stop. He probably thinks he's protecting me from myself. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about because I don't pay attention to regular season NBA because I'm a lot like most NBA players. I don't pay attention to the regular season in the NBA.
Hank's team might be in. The Wizards.
The Boulets?
They're hanging in.
Yeah, all right. Who cares? Here we go. Over under 35% chance snow in LA is Hank's wording, is cosmic karma for USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. Shut up, Hank, you idiot.
One whole half day of snow. Congratulations, Los Angeles.
It's not even, by the way, for all you people who are listening to this show outside of actual LA, there's LA County and then there's the city of LA. Everything you've ever seen, like when they show the shots of LA at a, Laker game or coming back from break at a Rams game, everything you're looking at is in the city of LA or Santa Monica or Malibu. It's all right there along the coast. It's not snowing here. It's up in the mountains. There's a lot of elevation in this county.
It did hail in West LA. My mom sent me videos of it hailing.
Hail is not snow.
I know. It snowed in like Inland Empire and east, very far east, yes.
Again, look to the east of this city. It looks like Denver out of the city. There's giant mountains with snow on them.
I know.
Okay. You don't have to tell me. Like, my dad texts me, he's like, you guys okay with all the snow? It's like, Dad, what? It's not snowing.
There's no snow where you live.
No. If it snows in Venice Beach, California, guys, we're all screwed. It doesn't matter anymore.
Basically, it's the day after tomorrow if it snows there. Or you're dead.
It's
you're
over
dead.
By then. Yeah, that's the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Pitch clock.
Love it.
We've had a weekend worth of looking at the pitch clock. Over under 15% chance this blows up in the face of Rob Manfred and he loses his job, but I don't think so.
No. Guys, can we look, here's the thing, guys. Do we really let's be smart fans for a second. Let's try to be smart for a second, guys. Do you really think they're going to call a playoff game with the pitch clock rule? No, it's spring training. They're learning this together. They're figuring this out together. It's a spring training game. It ends in a tie at 6-6. Like they're figuring this out together. By the time the postseason comes around, you'll get your Yankees Red Sox 4.5-hour game, baseball fans. Don't you worry, okay? But I'm for this game. Like let's pick it up a little bit, okay? We don't need all the crotch adjusting and the glove strapping up in and out. Like, I'm a baseball guy. I grew up playing baseball. I watch a ton of baseball. Like, I get the rhythm of it. But like, it's okay. Let's speed up a little. Look, I got young kids that want to watch baseball too. they're border tiers. But I think though, the no shifts and the bigger bases will lead to more runs and more hits and more movement, more steals. That will hold our kids' attention, I think, more than the game playing a little faster anyways. So like those changes, I think, might change baseball a lot more than the pitch clock in the end.
So I'm with you. I think you're right. It will be more exciting. And obviously, come playoffs, they're going to want to milk it. So that they're going to adjust it. But here's a very inside baseball, pun intended, term intended, question for you. Don't you think base stealing is going to be way up?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the bases are bigger. It's a shorter distance to steal now.
It's a shorter distance. You can't throw over. And frankly, pitchers, like mental bandwidth.
Well, you can throw over only twice in their bat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, twice. Well, okay. But once you've thrown over twice, I know you're not coming back to the base.
But can you step off, though, right, and not throw over? You just can't even look over there.
I guess we're going to need a little bit of clarity on the very nuanced way in which can you step off after you've thrown over twice, and if you step off, like, how does the clock work? Because it seems to me you've shown your hand. If you throw over twice and to hold a base runner on, and now you got to deal to the plate, he knows he's getting that extra lead.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a huge lead. Yeah, and even with a pitch out, he might get there with a bigger base. Because now, again, it's not 60 feet anymore, which it really wasn't anyway, because the base led into that, or 90 feet. But now it's going to be even shorter because the bases are bigger.
Right. And the pitcher, you can tell, like, it's pretty fast. And a lot of pitchers are pretty damn quirky. Like, they got these weird rituals they like to do. If you're fumbling around doing your ritual and thinking, I got to deal this thing, man, I got to get this thing to the plate.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about a runner at first.
No.
And they know that.
People also think, they estimate that pitch speed will go down this season as pitchers have to pitch faster.
Oh, because they'll be a little bit more gassed?
Yeah.
But it's going to be great for guys who know how to work quick. People were instantly saying Max Scherzer has an advantage here. I'm thinking of Greg Maddux back in the day.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, yeah, for sure.
He would catch the ball and frame it up and go, man.
Like, these relievers that take 85 seconds between pitches are going to want, you know, the middle guys, some of the setup guys, closer, they're going to have the toughest time, I think.
Yeah, and if your whole thing is that you throw, 100 with some movement, and now, like, go ahead, try to throw 100 miles an hour three times in 30 seconds. It ain't going to happen. Your arm's going to fall off.
Yeah. So, I am all for trying to improve the game for your product, for your, like, entertainment product. Because, I watch a ton of baseball. I watch – the Giants are good. I watch parts of 100 games. Like, I watch a lot of baseball. So, if this makes the game better, more action – again, it's not even the pitch clock. Again, the no shift is a big deal, guys. Like, the no shift is going to allow – a lot more base hits. And maybe we get back to actually trying to hit the ball on the ground, like in between fielders, and like not just try to jack home runs all the time, because the shift will change a bunch of that, right? I'm for it. I'm for changing the rules to add some more hitting back in the game.
All right, last one. Back to football. Over under 99% chance Hank would be a better NFL quarterback than Mac Jones, because he has proven the ability to perform while getting yelled at and diminished by us.
I just don't see you guys yelling at Hank that much. I think I could see...
We've yelled at him like three times in this recording.
I could see Matt being the more... Is Matt the yeller out of the two of you guys? Are you the...
No.
You are?
I'm definitely the... Oh, yeah. If there's a jerk around here, I want that crown.
Oh, you want the crown?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're... Like if you guys are in a group meeting, or you're the guy that, like, is like... They're like... Afterwards, you're like, dang, Gabe really laid it on us.
Well, I do preface it by saying things like, I don't mean to be condescending right now, or like, I'm sorry for being a jerk, but, and then it comes. Yeah.
But we need to, like, be better at our jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. With some. Yeah, exactly. That's how I say it.
That's fair.
Okay. I'm just saying, Mac Jones, it seems like he can't take criticism.
Hank is able to take criticism pretty well, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's his greatest asset, is that for all the criticism he deserves, he's actually quite good at taking
it. I mean, it's certainly not producing podcasts. So
not a specialty.
No, but I definitely think that him being able to take criticism is a specialty of his.
Yeah, on the fly. And apparently, just so people know what we're getting at here, there's a report that Patriots coaches were instructed not to be too hard on Mac Jones because they didn't want him to be too critical on himself. I have no idea what that means. But I guess he sucked because he was getting yelled at.
I mean,
you would have thought that they would have known that that's the kind of guy he was before they put him on Belichick's team.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe about half these stories.
All right.
Yeah. Do you?
No, I don't care, because I don't care about Mac Jones. I don't think he's good. I don't care about him. I hope he loses every game he ever plays for the Patriots.
Patriots, just Patriots hater. I love it.
Yeah. I think we're done, Jeff. I think we did it.
I think we're done too. I'm taking my first vacation with no work this week. Like, literally, like, I'm not doing like any podcast, any radio, no writing, no interviews. I cannot wait. Oh, it's gonna be glorious. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. But we'll be back next week though with more podcasts, and we'll have some combine review. Maybe we'll review the best combine performance. We'll talk about them next week. And NFL free agency starts very soon as well. The franchise tag's been applied. Some roster cuts have happened during the show. We'll talk about all those next week. Have a great week, everyone. Take care. Enjoy the combine. Talk to you guys. Bye.